book of Leviticus, and you're now in the book of Numbers, more than likely. Is that right? Okay. I'm a little behind. I got stuck over in Leviticus. But Tony, just reading through wasn't enough. I had to go to digging. I wished I had your Noah Webster's up here. I'd show y'all what I look like. I thought I was an ostrich and that was the dirt and I was sticking my head in it. I mean, man, thank God for the Word of God. If you could say the book of Genesis, oh, it's the book of beginnings, and chapter number 2 speaks of redemption. Book 2 speaks of redemption, and book 3 speaks of worship. How an unholy sinner can walk into the presence of a holy God. We're going to find out in the book of Leviticus. If you found your place, turn with me if you will. Leviticus chapter number 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If this offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Y'all need to underline that. There will be a test on the reading after we get done. Amen. Y'all see that? He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. Voluntary, hands on to make an atonement. Are y'all with me? Verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priest and Aaron's sons, and shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it in pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. I like that. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Verse 9, and his innards, his inward parts, and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep and of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and the priest and Aaron's sons, and shall sprinkle his blood round about the altar, and he shall cut it into his pieces. His head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. And he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bang it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Same words. Last part of verse 13, you find in the last part of verse 9, verse 14. And if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord be of the fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar, and he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part and on and by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. That's important. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. Y'all have heard this twice already. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savior unto the Lord. You can be seated. Father, we love you. I pray, God, that you might help me and empower me to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't have it, God. I don't have it. But, oh, God, I thank you for giving me this thought, this truth. And I want to do right by you. God, I want to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost, that sinners might get saved and saints help, that you might get exalted. We've tried to read slowly the scripture that you've laid upon our heart, that we walk through the text, and I pray you'd help me to unpack it now. Help me, God, to spread it out on the table. Help me to pass it out and fill every bowl and every cup and every plate. Help us to leave today rubbing our spiritual belly, that we've been fed, that we're full. Help me, God, how to be a blessing to your people and to your flock. Help us, God, to walk out today having grown in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord here in the book of Leviticus. We'll love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we thank you and pray. Amen. If the Lord would help us for a little while, this morning I want to preach on this thought, the lessons of our Lord from Leviticus. The lessons from our Lord from the book of Leviticus. If you say in the book of Leviticus, what is it that is the theme? What's repeated in Leviticus? And now for you that's reading your Bible through on into the book of Numbers, what's been repeated prior in the book of Exodus? What will be repeated again in the book of Deuteronomy? It is this thing of sacrifice. There are five different sacrifices. This morning, with the help of God, we're going to deal with one, that is the burnt offering. And then after the burnt offering, there is the meal offering. Lord willing, we'll deal with that tonight. The peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. And through this burnt offering, there are three different animals, three different classes of people that are being preached to. Now, if you were wealthy enough to have cattle, you could use the bullock for a burnt offering. But don't worry if you're middle class, because if you are, you could use a lamb for the burnt offering. But if you're here today and you say, I'm in the poor class, I'm glad God has even made a way, hey, for you through the turtle doves and the pigeon. You see, God is making a way for unholy sinners to come into the presence of holy God. But there must be a death. You see, the problem is, how can sinful man approach a holy God? And he's showing us in the book of Leviticus through these pictures and types and analogies of what the Lord would do at Calvary. You see, in the book of Leviticus, through the burnt offering, we are seeing his wondrous grace and his condescending mercy. We are seeing God make a way, amen, through the death of Jesus, to have access to him for us unholy sinners. I'm so glad today that through this burnt offering in chapter number 1 of the book of Leviticus, there's several things that I want you to notice here. First of all, let me say this about the burnt offering. Notice the first one mentioned. It is a bullock or an ox. Ain't you glad one day when you're like that man in Luke chapter 10, when sin had ripped you and ruined you and stripped you and left you half dead? Aren't you glad today, sinner? Hey, aren't you glad today, saint, that one day when you was in the ditch of your own sin, lay, and the religion couldn't do nothing for you, and the priest couldn't do nothing for you? Hey, ain't you glad the Good Samaritan came to where you was, got down in the ditch and washed in his blood and the wine and poured in the oil of the Holy Ghost and set you back up on his own beast and led you to the end of the local church. Hallelujah. And left provisions for you to be cared for until he comes back. I say hallelujah. He's going to bring something with him. You better believe it. It'll be a reward and a glorified body. Aren't you reminded what he did for you that day? Hey, hallelujah. Thanks be unto God, Brother Jeremy. He came where I was. Hey, I'm thinking in my mind, about the first time this word burnt offering is mentioned in the Bible. This burnt offering is a voluntary offering. Today, by his wondrous grace, love and mercy, hallelujah, all he requires of us is the offering of a broken spirit, a thanking lips, and a praising tongue. That's all you had to bring with you. And half of us came today without our sacrifice. Say amen right there. Didn't have to get no bullock. Didn't have to buy no lamb. Didn't have to get no turtle dove. But where's yours? Amen. First time burnt offerings mentioned. Now remember, we read it. It's a voluntary offering. First time it's mentioned. Genesis chapter number 8, verse 20. Noah has been on the ark, and he come off the ark, and God poured off the siding of the ark. And the Bible said he gave them a command: be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Is that what he told him? That's the command he gave. But you know what Noah did? Noah, of his own voluntary accord, took time to build an altar. Guess what he did? Buddy, guess what he did? He offered clean animals of every kind and offered them for a burnt offering voluntarily. He said, great God in heaven, hallelujah, God has brought us through the flood. This ark has kept us safe. And the ark took the beating. And the ark took the storm. And hey, woo, we're shut inside the ark. And we're delivered to the mountaintop because of the ark. Hey, first thing I'm going to do is offer up a burnt offering. And the Bible said about that burnt offering, it was a sweet savior unto the Lord. And the Lord said, I'll never destroy that man again like this. You know what? Hey, you know what he's doing? He's saying, thank you, Lord. I'm offering up a ram. I'm offering up a lamb. I'm offering up a bullock. I'm offering up a turtle dove. Every clean animal on board this thing, I'm going to offer up and give you thanks voluntarily and say thank you for the ark safely delivering me and my family. And so us today should have came in shouting that the ark of Jesus has safely delivered both you and us and your family and mine. We ought to offer it up. Thank you, Lord. And it'd been a sweet savior unto the Lord. Sweet savior. Whether it's a bullock, whether it's a lamb, whether it's a turtle dove, sweet savior. All of them pointing to Ephesians 5. Turn your Bible over. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Verse number 2. Hallelujah. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering, a voluntary offering, a burnt offering. Are y'all getting that? A voluntary offering and a sacrifice to God. What does it say, church? For a sweet smelling savior. Great God in heaven, Noah said, I know Messiah comes. This ark's a picture of him. Whoa!
Hallelujah. Church, everybody in this building ought to come in with a praise on your tongue, thanksgiving on your lips. You ought to come in today with a broken heart, with a humble spirit, realizing that if it hadn't been Jesus who had taken the place, it wasn't the blood of bulls, nor of goats, nor a turtle dove, nor a ram, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I say amen. Now, you say, preacher, it ain't that real to me. Well, first time's in Genesis 8. The last time, no, let me just go to the next time. The next time it's mentioned, this burnt offering, guess where it's at? Guess where it's at? Genesis 22. That's the next time it's mentioned. And guess how it's mentioned, Brother Tony? Isaac is wanting to know, where's this sacrifice coming? I got the wood, and I got the fire, and we're going up yonder. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Are y'all with me today? That ram, thank God, was caught in a bush by its horns. You don't catch a ram in a bush by its horns unless he stuck his head in there voluntarily. That ram took Isaac's place. Great God. And so did Jesus take our place. The second time that burnt offering's mentioned, it's a ram voluntarily laying its life down so Isaac could go free. Hey, can I say today, thank God for a voluntary burnt offering. Are y'all with me? But let's go to the last time it's mentioned. What's the last time in the Bible? Look over here in Hebrews. Boy, that Strong's Concordance will help you right here, won't it, Tony? Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Woo! Yeah, boy, thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, don't read ahead. Look up here at me. Got to ask you a question. Can the shadow of a dog bite you?
No.
Can't do it, can he? Can the shadow of a cat scratch you? Can't do it, can he? The shadow of the Christ, them rams, bullocks, and turtle doves was the Levitical law that were laid out for the shadow. What does the shadow always do? Y'all stay with me. What does the shadow always do? If you can see a person's shadow, it will lead you to the source. I'll tell you what the shadow did. It pointed you to the source, the real sacrifice. That ram pointed you to Jesus. That turtle dove pointed you to... I don't know. Somebody needs a pinch run for me. I'm telling you today, by the grace of God, the shadow leads you to the real thing. I'll say amen. Now, look at verse 2. Hebrews 10, verse 2. For them would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible. Verse 4, y'all still in the book? Y'all still reading with me? Come on, stay with me now. We read more Field and Stream than we do our Bible. Stay with me. Verse 4. For it's not impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, whoo, somebody better get their motor running. Amen. He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Talking about the Father. But a body hast thou prepared for him. Hey, the Father had already set the Holy Ghost to overshadow. Is everybody with me? I got people getting distracted. Y'all come on up here. Y'all with me? All right, now think about this. Jesus said, a sacrifice thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared. Hey, verse number 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, verse 7, I come, and the volume of the book... in Leviticus chapter 1, and the bullock, lamb, and turtle dove, and the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice, verse 8, and offering and burnt offerings, burnt offerings, burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Remember, burnt offerings to bring atonement, burnt offerings, sweet Savior, burnt offering. Hey, neither had its pleasure, verse 8, in them which are offered by the law. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He fulfilled it. He took away every blot that was against you. And where did he take it? He took it to the cross and nailed it there. Look what he said, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Somebody should have been running right there. I'm telling you, he is the burnt offering. Hallelujah. What they couldn't do, what they was pointing to, the one that would fulfill it, that would nail it to the cross. Are y'all with me now? Hallelujah. It's the last time burnt offerings mentioned. Don't need no more. Amen, preacher. Amen, woo! I say amen. Y'all with me? Don't need no more. I'm done with. Preacher, what about them burnt offerings? Does everything about them, the bullock, the lamb, the turtle dove, does everything about them point us to Jesus? Not just does everything point to them, but everything that happened to them, not just their character, but how they had their life cut off. The bullock never sinned. The lamb never sinned. The turtle dove was enjoying his home in the sky. Let me try this. The turtle dove was enjoying his home on high. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Are y'all with me? Whoa. He didn't sin. Why'd he get taken from his nest up high and brought down to die for somebody else's sin? Great God. Amen. Are y'all with me? Everything that happened to him. Their character, meek, humble, submissive. Can I tell you today, you know what the ox does? It'll pull a wagon that's marred up deep in the mud out of the ditch. Going back to Luke 10. Yeah. Can I say today, Jesus is the ox that pulled me out of the depth of sin that I was sunk into, but he's also the lamb that bore my sin away, and he's also the gentle dove yes, that was divided but not cut in half. It was divided. Oh yes, he had to die. He had to suffer. Because remember, the Bible said in Isaiah that he pierced his soul. It wasn't just his body that was suffering, but his soul. And so he split, but he didn't separate the humanity from the deity. I say hallelujah. Is everybody with me? Christ is our Passover. Christ is our bullock. Christ is our lamb. Christ is our turtle dove, our pigeon. Christ is our burnt offering. He is the only one that can satisfy God eternally and bring about eternal redemption. A sweet Savior. I picture this. They saying, by now, he stinketh. Oh, yeah. Third day, he rose up out of the grave. Remember what happened with Lazarus and him? He's over in the grave, and Mary and Martha said, well, it's been 4 days. And by now, he stinks. He's so far past help. See, they had a tradition that the spirit hovered for 3 days around the burial place. Now, we know that ain't true, but that's what they thought. Thought he hovered around for 3 days. And, oh, yeah, if you'd been here on third day, you could have done it. But it's 4 day now. He stinks. But you know what happened when they rolled that stone away? It didn't smell like death. It smelled like the rose of Sharon. It wasn't just running their hands on the water. They was getting that soap. Hey, smell like the rose of Sharon. And you know what he did? He raised from the dead. He himself had the power to lay it down. Had the power to bring it up again. Hey, man sinned and I must die, or somebody or something must die in my place. Hey, what the bullet couldn't do and the lamb couldn't do and the turtle dove couldn't and didn't do, Jesus did do. Look with me quickly. Look what he said. The bullock was accepted on behalf of the sinner. How did that happen? Said he presented him to the Lord, didn't he, Brother Jeremy? Jeremy said they laid hands on it. Yeah. That means there's a transfer. That means all Jared's sin went on the bullock. Boy, ain't you glad one day when God let you lay hands on the gospel and lay hands on Jesus? And your sin was transferred. Actually, that's just when you got in on it. Because in reality, it happened a couple thousand years ago. And you wasn't even born yet. And God done made a way. He said, man, I'll mess it up. I better go ahead and take care of this for him too. Brother Tony, 2,000 years ago, he died for every sin I ever did, I ever will do. Jesus did that. Look with me. What does it say? It says, number one, it should be a male. The male speaks of the energy. It speaks of pulling power. But male speaks of Jesus, our, in this age of gender neutrality. God's still Father, say amen. And Jesus is still the Son. He's not the daughter. Is everybody all right? Amen. I thought I'd have got more amens than Landrum. Amen. What I'm thinking is, Brother Jeremy, he said the male. But then it says, without blemish. That's right. Sets forth not only of whom this bullock is pointing toward, but of what will be brought against him. They couldn't bring an accusation against the Lord. They said this in Isaiah. There's not even guile in his mouth. They said this about, Jesus said this about himself. He said, I do always those things that please the Lord. The Father said this about him. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And in case we didn't get it the first time, he went ahead and said it another time. Can I just go ahead and say on the authority of God's word, when we see this thing where it says without blemish, aren't you glad he was a lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world? Amen. Without spot or blemish, you couldn't find no fault with him. Hallelujah. Do your inspection. Pilate did an inspection one day and he said, I find no fault in him. I'd like to say, amen. And keep looking. You won't find none. Hallelujah. Then it says, they'll flay this bullock. That sets forth a clear picture of his beatings, of him being scourged, of a crown of thorns being placed on his head, of a reed being smashing those 1 to 3 inch thorns in the top of his noggin, for your sin and for mine. That speaks of every bone being out of joint. That speaks of him being nailed. Oh, listen, the flaying of the burnt sacrifice, the cutting of
of the sacrifice. Hey, you say, preacher, how many wounds were there at Calvary? I say there's at least seven. Hey, so head wounds from the thorns. There's one hole in this hand, one hole in this hand. There's one hole in each foot. There's a side has been riven, but there's another wound that we can't see. That's when his soul was pierced. That's when he suffered. That's when he suffered like no man has ever suffered or will suffer. He suffered your hell and he suffered my hell, and the wrath of God is unleashed upon him and the fury of all mankind. And the worst man at his worst is at Calvary, but it's God at his best. He loves us. And even the finest man has to be saved. Are y'all with me? Oh, they cut him. They washed him. Speaks of his inward and his outward purity. The burning. Oh yes, typifies the consuming fire that God unleashed upon him. Here and only here do we see clearly depicted in this offering of the bullock and the lamb and the turtle dove, through the fleeing, the cutting, the beating, the washing. Hey, did y'all know in Hebrews 13, the Bible says, now I've already read Hebrews 10, and I went through this, what the bullock went through was just a picture of what Christ would go through at Calvary. And can I say, hallelujah, oh, thank you, Lord. Can I say this? It's five nails at Calvary. It was one in each hand, one in his foot, one in the sign. But thank God, he was one nailing every offense that's spiritual to the cross. And we see in this picture how us as unholy, sinful man have the right to access a holy God. You ain't got to wait to John. You see it in Leviticus. Are y'all with me? But in Hebrews 13, y'all turn over with me. Since all this is true, look at Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. Verse number 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Oh, you know where that bullock's hide was taken? Where his flesh was taken? Outside the gate. Why, preacher? Because that bullock would bring sanctification if it was. What he said in verse 12, wherefore Jesus also. Verse 11, if you think I'm wrong, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt without the camp. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without a gate. Now what should we do since our burnt offering has been offered? Hey, we're to offer up the broken heart. We're to offer up thanks and praise. Look at verse, hey, thank God, verse 13, let us go forth therefore to him without the camp bearing his reproach. If you get saved, you got to repent. You got to identify that he died for your sin. His sin. Oh, it wasn't for his sin. It was your sin. You got to go out yonder. But then when you go out yonder and you become a part of his family and you get born again and you gain access through him. Hey, look what he said. Thank God. Verse 15, skip there. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. He's the ox that pulled me out of the ditch. He's the lamb that took away my sin. He's the dove. And if you see this, he said he's brought down from his peaceful nest. Where's that dove? He's, Brother Jared climbed up in that tree, grabbed that dove, bring him down from his peaceful nest, brought him down to the earth.
He's going to suffer for sins he didn't commit. He's going to be the burnt sacrifice. And it says in here that his crop is pulled out and that his feathers is plucked out and then that he slit open. It gives you the idea, Brother Jeremy, that head is wrung off. All the mutilating, all the torture that this innocent animal went through. Is that exactly not what Jesus did for you and me? He was innocent on Calvary. He was innocent before Calvary. And he's innocent after Calvary. Hey, he was mutilated. Hey, they took advantage of him. When I look at this burnt offering in Leviticus chapter number 1, I realize this points me to Ephesians 5, where Jesus is the real sweet smelling Savior, and the only access I have to a holy God is somebody or I have to die. There has to be an atonement made. And the Bible said in Leviticus 1 that the burnt offering that pointed to Christ wrote atonement. It was a sweet Savior of what Christ was going to do. Now, church, what he has done. I want to ask you a question. I get up here. I can't help it. That's just the way I am. Sweat and get excited and talk louder than I'm supposed to, probably. Scream, holler. Because I know where I was. I know where I deserved. And they preachers better than me could do more than better job than I did. I just simply want to tell you. Ain't nobody could have done the job that Jesus did. And I might do a pitiful job at presenting. But the payment he's made is not pitiful, but altogether pardoning. You don't have to suffer for one sin. Not one single sin. Preacher, how'd I do? Just come lay your head on him being your head. Come lay your hands on him being the head. Confess it all. Call on him today and be saved. He died for your sin and mine. That purple they put up Saturday, that's a picture of his passion, of his royalty, his deity, of God dying for you. Amen. Oh, every other religion wants men to die for their so-called leader. But all Christianity is the only true religion. He said, see now that I am God and there is none else. God has made us unholy men a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He goes on to say, explaining the priesthood and the burnt offering. He said, wherefore, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's saying, seeing I ever liveth to make intercession for you. I'm a high priest that won't die. You'll never be tried again for the same offense. If you'll come be saved, it'll be eternal life. It'll be everlasting life. I died for you. God don't believe in heaven's court. Don't have double jeopardy. Hey, there's forgiveness. God don't lay you away. There's complete, full, final, and free forgiveness. It's to the burnt offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered for your sin and mine under the fire of God. Hallelujah. I want to get in that meal offering so bad right now. Hey, can I just tell you this? Thank God. There's no meal offering that's ever been received by God unless it had oil on it. I'm glad the Holy Ghost will make what I'm preaching to you real. And my imperfections, the holes I leave can be filled in by the Holy Ghost. And that's why God uses mortal man. So man don't get credit. It's the work of God. Salvation's of the Lord. He desires to save you. He laid down his life to save you. He took it up again to save you. And he's moving to save you.